Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, going to verse 20.
Okay. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jones, for your cooperation. Some short words to a short message this morning. God prepares the way. God prepares the way. There was another instance of this. There was an apostle named Philip. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch was on a desert road. And God sends Philip down to help this eunuch. Now, the interesting thing is, nobody can really say, "Man, what about the people in the jungles and you know, in deepest, darkest Africa and in South America? What about them? Can they hear?" Well, according to the text, God knows exactly where you are. He knows your name. He knows your zip code. He knows exactly how to get to you. Exactly how to get to you. God prepares the way. And driving down a one-way street, you all, is a very interesting situation. I was going to buy a Ford Mustang, Audrey. Not now. But, you know, back in the day. And it had one of them shaker hoods, brother. You know what's going on with them. And it had a 428 in it. And it was a bad motor Guzzi, Miss Exotic. And I chose the wrong street to drive the car down to test drive it. And so, you know, you see that hood shaking and the big motor up under there. And it was a stick shift, so it was a bad dog. So I go down the street, Sister Lise, and I step on that thing. I say, I'm gonna test this out before I buy it. Boom! that I came inches from hitting somebody's parked car. Now, the car was awesome. The street was just too narrow for that. And the street actually served its purpose because I didn't get the car because I was scared now. I hate to admit that, being a man, Brother Ernest. I was scared of that thing. But listen, that was just to say God doesn't work on one-way streets. He works on two-way streets. Right. Not only does he work on the one who he's going to send, but he's working on the one that he hears. So God works on two-way streets. And I ain't scared because that Mustang scared me either. I'm still a man. Sermon outline goes as follows. God answers Cornelius' prayer, verses 1 through 4. Cornelius sends for Peter, 5 through 8. God prepares the messenger, 9 through 16. The reality of the vision is standing at the gate. The Bible describes Cornelius as a Roman centurion. Over 100 men stationed in Caesarea, about 53 miles from Jerusalem. Now, it's amazing that God would actually save a centurion. Why would his heart be so tender? He was a Roman. Romans were typically known as being vicious individuals. Crucifixion, they loved to use crucifixion, and it was the almost worst form of dying. Not only did you hang on the cross and bleed out, but you suffocate. And they make sure you suffocate because they break your legs so you can't stand up and breathe no more. Now, out of these people, God, now listen, the only way your heart can be tender to God is that he has to be operating on you already. Because Ephesians chapter 2 said, you're dead in trespasses and sin. How in the world can dead people respond to something that's live? The reason you're here today is because he worked on you too. If you think you're so intellectually smart until you could reach God, you're greatly mistaken. Because if you're dead in trespasses and sin, you cannot reach God. God softens the heart of this centurion. He's a proselyte now. Proselyte means he's actually saying, I believe in this Jewish faith and do some of the traditions. But listen, he didn't know the whole story. But listen, he was actually interested in God. Being a Roman, he was well liked and prayed to God and gave alms. Why do you think every Sunday we talk about motive? Why motive? I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you drive. I don't care where you live. I'm just concerned, are you alive? And what I mean by are you alive is what's going on the inside. We typically look on the outside a whole lot, Brother Ernest. We judge people for what's going on the outside. But God looks at the heart. And it's something about praying to God and giving alms. You can't fake that, Brother Ernest. You can't fake that because God is, yes, looking at your heart. No matter, listen, we are hiders. We like to hide stuff. In a garden, when they messed up, Sister Elise, what they did, they went and hid when they heard God coming in the cool of the day. That typically told us we like to hide. But if you pray, you can't hide from God. He knows exactly what you're talking about, dude. And it's exactly the intention of your heart. And it's interesting that this Roman has a tender heart. About 3 o'clock, God sends a messenger in a vision to Cornelius to tell him that God has heard your prayers and what you have given stands as a testimony before God. It is an Old Testament illusion, an allusion to the Old Testament, that when they burned the sacrifices, your purse ain't on here, I ain't gonna burn it up. When they burned the sacrifices, this is what happened. They burned and the smoke rises up. So what they're saying is, Cornelius, what's going on with you? Your prayers and your alms are rising up to God as if it was an Old Testament sacrifice. And God is there, standing there, looking and smelling and saying, I accept that. And look, he's a Roman. He's not a Jewish guy. He's a Roman. What that literally says to me is that we need to watch what we're doing. We need to watch who we're talking to. And who deserves salvation? We better watch. You don't deserve salvation. Really? I didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. And he told me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whether you be a Roman, a Jew, Chinese, it don't matter. Even if you're Arab. I had an issue with Arabs for a while until God showed me something. Who are you, man? I saved you by grace. How in the world can you look down on somebody? Who are you? I'll save whoever I want to save. And I'm cautioning you all, don't be like me, because I got my little whooping for that. But he got me on track. That's why, listen, if you love your children, you will discipline your children. Because God loves us and he disciplines us. When we step off track, he gets us back on track. Leave that one alone. Cornelius sends for Peter. Huh. And I'm sorry, that was something I was going to say at the front part. The one that God sent to Cornelius knew his name. Knew his name. And he knew exactly where he was. And he knew his name. That's important because in order to know somebody, you really need to know their what name. And this living God knows the name of this Roman. He calls him by name, Cornelius. And he called you by your name. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 28, please. Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 28. Sister McFarland, could you read that for us, please? Obedience. It's good. Immediate obedience. Acts 17, 26 and 28.
And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us.
Listen, you are God's messengers. Today.
That's not 28. Sorry.
You are God's messengers today. Listen, God knows zip codes, he knows addresses, and he uses raggedy people like us, like me, to go and do his will. Thanks, Brother Ernest. That was kind of shout out. Go ahead, sister.
That they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, even as some of our own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring.
Thank you. One blood means from one set of people, God made everybody. And he spread it everybody where he wanted them to be. He brought you, sister, today. He brought you today. And he brought you here for a specific purpose. And he gave me this message for a specific purpose. Now, I may get hit with a brick after I get through, but he gave me this message for a specific purpose, to tell us we are important in the plan of God. We have a job to do. We have people to talk to. Even if they reject us, we got stuff to do. And he put you where you are right now for a specific purpose. Now listen, if he put you there and he say, go see Cornelius, and you say, well, I got something to do. I'll go after a while. That's not good enough. God needs immediate obedience out of you because he shed his blood for you. I'm almost through, y'all. Now God prepares Peter with a sheet that comes from heaven. Let me ask y'all a question. Have you ever been in these stadiums when they have these big screens and they come down, they show you a picture? God lets the big screen down, and on this screen, there are clean and unclean animals. But listen, you all, they're on the same screen. And the thing is, listen, Jews were not supposed to eat unclean things. They didn't even associate it with Gentiles because they would become unclean. But God lets down the big screen from heaven, and the clean and the unclean animals are on the same screen. The implication is Jews and Gentiles will be in the same body. Regardless of your prejudice and the things that they've done to you, it's going to be in the same, they're going to be in the same body. And that's the mystery. How do they get in the same body? What does the sheep represent? It represents the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that could bring two people, two adverse people together. That's why he bring you here and you deal with me. You didn't catch that, did you? I already know I'm messed up and you got to deal with me. But listen, I'm on the sheet. You're on the sheet. And he's bringing us together by the Spirit of God to do his will. Y'all ready today? Go with me today. As I do what God tell me to do, I want you to do the exact same thing. It ain't about how you feel. It's about what God tell you to do. This morning I didn't feel like preaching. Let me tell that because she's going to be on me. But God tell you to do something, you better get busy. The job he calls you for is for you. Some would say, why didn't God chuck Jonah out of the way? Because Nineveh was for Jonah. And listen, he don't call perfect people like me. Be quiet, Audrey. He called messed up people to do what he calls them to do. They don't even have to be willing. You didn't get it, did you? Jonah wasn't willing. He wanted them to perish. But Nineveh was for Jonah. And God still used Jonah. Did y'all catch that? On that were things not lawful for Jews to eat. Leviticus 20:25. Let's go there. Leviticus 20:25. God had them to eat differently from the people around them, to separate them from the people around them, to make them different, to make them stand out, to make them stand out. But because you stand out don't mean that you can't stand with somebody. Don't get caught up in the stand up and then stop standing with somebody. Because it is God who called you. And you weren't perfect when he called you. Well, I wasn't talking about you, you're just an example. Leviticus 20, 25. And it reads, "You shall therefore separate the clean beast from the unclean, and the unclean bird from the clean. You shall not make yourselves detestable by beast or by bird or by anything with which the ground crawls, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean." Listen, God allowed them to be set apart, but it was now time to be molded together. The time for them to be separated is now over with. Christ has died, and with his death and resurrection, he is now gathered together in one body. Come on, baby. Come here, Sister Lisa, I got you too. Shouldn't sit on the front. Gentile, Jew, adverse to each other. I didn't even solicit that. That was good, y'all. Academy Awards. Okay. They call them dogs and they laugh at their ceremony. They have a natural boundary. Oh, you listen to me. People, thank you. People that you talk to about Jesus, you have a natural boundary in their mind for the dead and trespasses and sin. So if you give them the word and they don't hear you, you understand why they don't hear you. But in Christ, you preach Christ, because in Christ, there is now unity. Minds are changed. I can now hear what you tell me. If you tell me to stop having sex before marriage, I can now hear that. If you tell me to stop stealing on my job, I can hear that too. What to do with that? Oop. Thanks, Sister Elise. You were very cooperative there. You too, Audrey. God tells Peter to kill and eat, and now Peter reminds God that he has been faithful not to eat common or unclean food. God now says to Peter, "What have I made clean, don't you call it unclean or common?" All this happened three times. What in the world is this three times stuff about? What is that about? We have to be careful that we don't look, when God tells us something, that we don't look with a natural eye. This sister come up without her glasses on. We have to be careful how we look when God tells us things. Am I looking at that thing through the lens of my natural eye? Or am I looking as God has led my mind to see? Three times. While Peter's still thinking about what it could mean, the answer is hollering at the gate. Three times literally means there is a Jew that is going with three Gentiles on the service of the Lord. Listen, three sheets, clean, unclean, Peter wondering what's going on. At the gate they said, is Simon, the one called Peter, does he live here? All the while he's thinking about this thing, God doesn't answer what it's all about. That's why we need to be cautious about what we do. We need to be led by the Spirit. We're praying for stuff and it's at the gate talking to us and we don't hear nothing. Because we're busy worrying about how I'm going to make my mortgage payment. How I'm going to pay my car note. What's going on my job, my wife, and everything. We need to get to the point where we just trust God with that little stuff and start looking at the bigger picture. Three times, three people at the gate. Oh, man, I'm almost through. I'm tired, too. God now tells Peter to rise there are three men waiting for you. Go with them without hesitation, because I have sent them. Oh, conclusion. Thank you, Jesus. That wasn't really funny. That was really a cry of salvation there. The conclusion, God uses the most unlikely people to represent his image before a dying world. Why? Sister Marilyn, come here. And I didn't call her because she was yawning or nothing. This is what God does. He takes, and you're not raggedy, he takes the raggediest people on earth, and he puts his spirit on the inside of them, and then he makes us stand in front of people and show them his image. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, back stuff. No, because you listen. That's a serious point. Why in the world would God use raggedy people to show his image? Listen, who said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied? Because in that question lies a real deep theological response. Jesus said, listen, how long have I been with you and you have not recognized me? Philip, you were supposed to be emitting the image of Christ to those around you. I don't care if you're prejudiced. I don't care what you got against them. You are supposed to be revealing the image of God to those that God sends you to. People will see you and say, why did God choose you? I know your past. I know what you have done. I know how you did it. As a matter of fact, I was involved with you doing that. Why did he choose you? To show his power. He can change you. Yes, he is. That's why your message is so crucial. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and then who? To the Gentile. You got power. Take the medicine to the persons that need it. A mature Christian will obey God in spite of his or her prejudice. It's simple. Obey God. Obey God always leads to glorifying his name. Y'all catch it, right? Actually asked Brother Brian to teach. And without hesitation, he kind of did an instantaneous thing. I'm ready. Well, I didn't see him do that, but I can just imagine it in my mind. I'm ready. Jesus called me. I'm ready. He done already set me up. I'm ready. He done put something in me. I'm ready to go. Then I make another. Was it a text, Brother Lay? Text, Brother Lay. I need you to do this and this. He said, his response said, I'm glad to do it. Did you all hear me? God has called me, he's empowered me, and I'm glad to do it. Because I know when I do what he said, then that means somebody going to get blessed. If they're not blessed, they're going to get saved. And listen, when the truth of God goes forth, all the fluff and stuff goes away. You can't hide no more. In the mega churches, I ain't slamming nobody. You get in a mega church, you can hide some. Remember number 7,672? Nobody can see me. But what we forget is that God sees the heart. He sees the heart of every man. You can't hide from God. In closing, if you're not saved today, God has sent me today. My name is Peter today. And I'm here to tell you that you can be set free from your sins. You don't have to be a slave to your sins no more. God sent me today to tell you that. You can live. You don't have to live like you used to live. You don't have to do this no more. You don't have to do this no more in excess. God will set your mind free. And then he'll do the Brother Brian, Brother Lay thing. I'm glad to do it now. Because I was once lost and now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. Okay, I'm through. Ponder what's been said. Think about it. And I'll come back and, as a matter of fact, oh, did you got my catcher's mitt over there? The face thing? So I can get some protection. Amen. Think about it. Oops.